Bismillah, alhamdulillah, assalamu alaikum, greens of peace. Welcome to the Dean Show. I'm Eddie, your host. Now, I want you to imagine this. How many times, if you had to guess, do you think a Muslim minding his or her own business, via be at work, school, or on the street, has been called some derogatory name?
Concentrated on my prayer, and you know, this is the specific time between me and God, started to recognize what this woman was saying. She was telling me that I was an effing terrorist.
How even children going to public school with the name Ahmed Muhammad Fatima have been called terrorists.
Every Muslim is a terrorist, period.
Right now.
Shut your mouth.
Sir.
I don't want to hear your mouth.
Even though it's a statistical fact that Muslims do not commit most acts of terrorism.
It's not because Muslims are a bigger threat. In fact, between 1980 and 2005, 94% of all the attempted or successful terrorist attacks on U.S. soil were not carried out by Islamic radicals, but instead by non-Muslims, mostly white guys. So then why the obsession?
Islam prohibits killing of innocent human beings. Human life is precious.
In this country.
Do they blow people up?
Yes, Christians every day. People walk into post office. People walk into post offices. They walk into schools. That's what Columbine is. I mean, I could do this all day long. There are so many more examples of Christians, and I happen to be a Christian. That's back to this notion of you're idealizing Christianity, in my mind, to my read. There's so many more examples, Ayan, of Christians who do that than you could ever give me examples of Muslims who have done that inside this country where you live and work.
It's a statistical fact that Muslims do not commit most acts of terrorism, domestically or globally. It's objective research data. They don't. Now, my next guest actually had this happen to him. He went to work. And an Israeli man ends up calling him a terrorist. Why? Only because he's a Muslim. Let's bring out our next guest, Javed Ahmed. Assalamu alaikum, brother.
Wa alaikum salam. How are you?
Is that what happened?
That's exactly what happened.
He's not going to have an easy way out. But at the same time, guys, you don't need to stoop to his level. And especially as a Muslim, you know, we are advised not to do this either. You know, show the people that this is a religion of peace. And he's the only one that looks bad here.
Was that something just totally unexpected?
To be honest, it was. It was very unexpected. Like the comment in general, like I've been called that before, like you said in your intro and whatnot, you know, like growing up in England and stuff. But in terms of hearing it from him, especially when the cameras are on, you know, people, this is a politically correct world right now. So people, even if they have a feeling like that, they tend to not say it. So when he said it in public like that with cameras and people watching, it was very shocking to me, to be honest.
Now, I just want you to imagine, what if it was the roles were flipped? Because there's you actually had this happen to you before. You've been called this there. You're from London.
Yeah. So, you know, growing up just generally, like, especially after that whole 9/11 and whatever.
Brand new poll that show that more and more Americans are rethinking what happened on 9/11. And increasingly, more people are saying they do not believe the government's version of events.
Like, I was a young kid when all of that happened. So every time there was like some sort of news about Muslims, you'd get called out on the street. Like, it's normal, you know?
Mm-hmm. Now, you actually got to do something a little bit different. I mean, it's not everybody now gets to, you know, be in a situation like you. This happens and then you end up locked in a cage together. And then he can't get out now. So you legally, you had a way to express yourself, right?
Yeah.
So what happened from there?
So, yeah, exactly. So this is why I can't take full credit for me reacting the way I did. You know, now in hindsight, when I look back at it, I'm glad that I didn't react like that, you know, and it didn't make me look bad, like by doing something silly, like hitting him or swearing back at him or whatever.
You hold your composure very well, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But partly was because I knew I'd get my time with him, you know. So and I had to make him suffer for his words, and that's what happened, you know.
There's a lot of double standards, obviously. We know that. Like, you know, you're praying like, oh, please, like if something does happen and some lunatic goes and does something, we're like, oh, please don't let him be any way, which way connected to Islam, right? Yeah. And the media, usually if it's some person with mental health issues, he's just like, you know, crazy, whatever the case, some fringe element, and the media runs with it, double standards. How about, you know, a lot of people are pointing out now, like if this was, it was flipped, if you end up calling him a terrorist for a lot of the terrorizing that a particular group of people are doing against Palestinians, kids, and whatnot. We know what's going on for anyone just objectively looks at it. And now if you just came out and called him a terrorist, what do you think would have happened?
No, it would have been crazy. Like, I think I would have got I would have got it a lot worse than he did, to be honest, mm-hmm. you know, but to be I don't feel like I should be dwelling on that and like what could have happened and what would have happened. I feel like Allah.
قل هو الله أحد الله الصمد لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد.
It says Allah. Allah. Children of Israel in Arabic language. And it's the God for the Arabs who are Christians. It's also the same God. For the Muslims, the word is Allah.
Has a way of there's a word that Allah uses often in the Quran for these type of people, and it's like, and it says is Allah will humiliate them. You know, it's a very particular word, and it hits home with me because that was it, and he eventually did get humiliated, and I'm glad that people saw it, and I'm glad that people reacted the way they did, you know, and. I did get a lot of support for it, and it shows that. And it's not just from Muslims, from all over the world, you know. So it is good that there are good people, especially in the sport, that they really don't like to tolerate this. But at the same time, yeah, if I had said something like that, it would have been crazy.
Yeah, and it was got of you had some headlines on it, but obviously it didn't. I'm thinking, you know, flip the other way around, probably mainstream media, you know, even at a bigger level, picking it up all over the case, you know. They don't let that kind of stuff go. You know, it would have been termed anti-Semitic, et cetera, and it would have just been out of control. So it's just these double standards. But it's, I like what you said, you know, this is very important. And you kept your composure, you kept it cool, but, you know, it just gave for many people who have gone through this, you know what I mean? And education is so important. That's how we do the Deen Show, educating people so they can have a better understanding. Because most people are just, you know, misled by hate, by that, you know, negative propaganda, a lot of the hate machine that's out there. But you had a good opportunity now to hold your composure. And at the end, there was some justice served.
Exactly. There was justice served. But I feel like as a Muslim, especially, like you said, there's a lot of double standards right now. You know, When it all happened, I knew I had a responsibility to keep my cool and keep it calm, especially not say anything racist back. Not that I was even thinking of doing it anyways, because I'm not racist, you know what I mean? But at the same time, I had to make sure that I show the etiquette of Islam, you know, and how we should deal with situations like this. And then justice was served. I knew I'd get my time with him.
And that was nice. You had a message at the end. What was that message? You put out a message of talking about how we should conduct ourselves. That was a real nice, positive message.
Yeah, well, what people don't understand is Islam is literally a religion of peace. You know, so when somebody calls you something or when somebody, I'm not saying I'm the best example by any means, but I knew in this time, this was my moment to show my character, and Allah was testing me to not say anything back to him or and make sure, not that I would, but make sure I know people on social media and stuff would start making this like a Islam versus Israel sort of thing, you know. I had to make sure you don't make any racist comments. This guy is the problem, not his people, because his people didn't really say anything, you know. He doesn't represent the whole country. I'm sure that we all know what Israel are doing and stuff with Palestine and their war going on, and but that's different. That doesn't represent every Israeli person, you know? So especially being racist to a religion or a culture in particular, it shouldn't happen.
Yeah, absolutely not. But you can imagine like what is, and that's the, if we can reach people, you know, because, you know, people get programmed, people see other people, and then, you know, these things need to be put in check, right? Socially, you know, culturally, that it's not acceptable. Because you're at a grand scale like this, a sport where people accept each other, different religions, different nationalities, etc. And you got to just think, like, really, what's going on inside of a human's head and their heart, you know, to just come out and just, you know, what kind of venomous hate that a person has that they want to just go to such a low level, you know, to, you know, give you such a low blow. You know, that's, you know.
Well, that's the sad part, you know. That is the sad part. Exactly what you said. The hate in these, some of these people's heart, you know, it's quite shocking, and it makes me kind of like think, like ponder. Well, I grew up in London, so like, alhamdulillah, like I had a lot of people from all over the world that I would go to school with. I see on the road and whatever. Like, yeah, you'll get racist comments, but at the end of the day, there is a community in the sense like there are people from all part of the world, and people get along. So for people, so it's just crazy, it's mind blowing for me to even think like why people can be racist and have that venom and hate that you spoke about in their heart, mm-hmm. you know.
Tell me, at what age did you start turning? Were was your family? Were you always someone who was practicing your deen? You know, were you somebody who was also like, you know, because you have a lot of people who now because of this, you know, Muhammad changes name to Mo, you know, Fatima's changed. They're scared. People don't have the courage there. And a lot of times they run away from their deen because, you know, of such things. They fear things like this being put under the spotlight and whatnot. How did you get so connected with Islam, with your deen?
Alhamdulillah. I always have to credit my parents for this. I even get emotional thinking about it because I don't know where I would be without them and without them showing me the value of Islam, you know. Especially growing up, like, it's not cool to be a Muslim. Like, I don't know if I said that correctly, but there's rules and stuff that you have to follow. And if you don't understand why you're following these rules and why you're a Muslim, it can be hard for you to get along with people in a society where the religion is not the dominant, where Islam is not the dominant religion, you know. And they put me in like Quran school and. They taught me the way and the etiquette, and at the end of the day, they instilled a mindset in me that without this deen, I won't be complete without this deen, you know.
Mm-hmm. And many people don't know. Simply when you're saying Islam, you're saying that submission to the Creator, you know, trying to achieve peace by submitting to the owner of peace, the one who created creation. And many people don't know when you start educating people our deep love and reverence for Jesus, peace be upon him, Moses, and all these messengers who came with the same way of life that you're living and you're proud to be upon, worshiping the Creator, not the creation. And that's why education is so important, because people have all these misconceptions, misnotions. And when they actually connect with a Muslim, go to a mosque, you know, ask the questions, because a Muslim is just like you. He's trying to live in peace. He's trying to live in harmony with his Creator and with the creation around him. And this is what you're trying to do. So this is, it was really nice to connect with you and, you know, bring this story to light, because this is, I think, very important for those who are, hopefully this can deter someone else from doing something, making this mistake that happened to you, towards you.
Yeah, exactly. You know, at the end of the day, it's just about, we have to understand that you represent Islam. You know, this is what my parents made clear to me also when I was younger. Like, people are not going to know, you can't educate everybody. The way they know is through your actions.
Mm-hmm. Tell me, so you're in Vegas now?
Yes, I'm in Las Vegas.
So you're with Jake Shields?
Yes, I'm with Jake Shields and my teammates Farid and Amir Albazi.
Okay, yeah, I've met Jake Shields. He's actually visited my academy, so he knows, we know each other. And How's he doing?
Nice. I'll be speaking about you with him later. He's great. Jake is what a guy. Uh-huh. What a guy, you know, such a chilled back guy and open-minded, and he's just an overall good guy, man. And he was telling me as well before the fight, like I know that you're not going to do it anyways, but just make sure you don't make any comments and stay true to your character. And this is important because you have to be true to your character, you know?
Yeah, he's a veteran giving you some good advice, yeah.
Exactly.
How about his best friends with Tariq Azim? Have you met Tariq yet?
Yeah, Tariq Azim, that's my...
You cut out a little bit. What'd you say? You cut out the...
It was actually the... Jake.
He what? Sorry.
Did us.
We lost you there a little bit.
Can you hear me?
Right now, yeah.
Yeah, so Tariq Azim, the person that connected.
Okay. Yeah, mashallah, mashallah. Alhamdulillah. Well, it was really nice talking with you. Alhamdulillah that, you know, we got to meet. And inshallah, you can be somebody who, you know, sets a good example for others, you know, if they're in this situation. Hold your composure. Don't swing. And inshallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like you said, you know, is God Almighty is in charge at the end, and he's the one that will reward you for your patience and whatnot, because not everybody's going to get a chance to do what you did. yeah. All right. Thank you, brother. Where if anything else that you want to share with us?
No, man, just keep up your good work. To be honest, I've been a fan of your show even before you contacted me. And I even told my brother, like, the Dean Show messaged me, Eddie. And I was like, wow, like, this is nice, you know?
Mashallah. Alhamdulillah. Hopefully, since you're in the States now, maybe we can get you over to our academy. If you're going to be in Chicago or anywhere, make sure we
100%.
Reconnect.
Inshallah. Anytime I'm in Chicago, I will be hollering you, man.
That sounds good. Thank you, brother.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Anyway, alaykum assalam.